Good morning, church. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We continue on our series of studies from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. And this morning we look at Jesus on divorce. Jesus on divorce. You might sit there and say, I'm not married. What is this to do with me? I think as you sit, you will realize that you will learn actually more. Before we even get married, there are a few things that you will have to know. Actually, in real fact, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. In other words, if you are given a warning ahead of time, you are given a weapon, a shield to protect yourself before time. We're going to look at Jesus on divorce. We're reading two verses. Verse 31 and verse 32. It reads as following. It was also said, whosoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, make her commit adultery. And whosoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. We come to another mountain to climb. The subject of divorce. We have seen last week how Jesus feels about adultery. That it is a grievous sin before God. Both the act and that lustful thought entertained in the heart. And this morning then, we consider the issue of divorce. The issue of divorce, if you look at your Bible, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open. As you keep reading from where we started, you're going through, realize that the issue of divorce follows the subject of adultery. The reason is because in most cases, adultery leads to divorce. Not all the time, but in most cases, adultery leads to divorce. And of course, friends, there will be so many questions this morning that won't be directly answered. Because it is not easy to exhaust the subject of divorce in one sermon. But I can assure you that the rightful and biblical parameters on this issue will be set. All these things will be set in order that we may learn, that we may be equipped by the word of God, that we may also have true knowledge that we will pass to others, correcting others and teaching others, so that we also may know about this subject. This morning, I want to look at these two verses, verse 31 and verse 32, under three thoughts. And firstly, I want us to see Jesus correcting a false view on divorce. Jesus correcting a false view on divorce. So since Jesus is dealing with the issue of righteousness, it is of vital importance to him or for him to look back at history and see what the people had learned before time, before him, and then correct what needs to be corrected or add on what needs to be added. So as he deals with this issue of righteousness, he comes before his disciples, as he continued to teach them here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says to them, you also have heard something in relation to the issue or the subject of divorce. In other words, Jesus says, behind the scene, if you can listen carefully to his words, there is a false view that you have learned before about this issue, and I'm here to correct that false view. And friends, we know that the false view of anything in this world is likely to be the view that many people will prefer. We know that. That is why there are so many false teachers who have a lot of following. Because people would rather have what is false and follow what is false, because there is no accountability. So in everything, a false view have a following. And people prefer a false view. And they will deliberately then interpret God's word in a way that will fit in with their standard of living and justify their sin. And for that reason, Jesus says here in verse number 31, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. We can sense from these words of Jesus, it is quite clear here that there was a known teaching which Jesus himself knew about divorce. So he comes to his disciples, he tells his disciples that what they have learned, what they had learned in the past, is actually wrong. Now he's bringing them the right perspective. And the problem there is that most of the time, what is wrong, people think that it is coming from God. Because in most cases, when people are preaching what is wrong, they also open the Bible. And then people link those false doctrines as though they are false doctrines taught by God. So in this case also, the people thought that this was taught by God. Actually, they claim that Moses taught them that they should actually give out a certificate of divorce should they want to break the marriage. Actually, in those days, there were two school of thoughts. There were two views about the issue of divorce. We had the school of Hamel and a school of Shammai. The school of Hamel taught that a man has a right to divorce his wife if he finds any indecency in her. In other words, should the woman not know how to cook, the man has got the right to divorce her. If the woman will cook and then burn the food, the man has the right to divorce her by giving her a certificate of divorce. In other words, this view linked in to satisfy the desires of people's hearts. This view worked hand in hand with the sinful hearts of men, because that is what men want to do. They want to change wives as though they change car oil, or they put petrol now and then over and over. So this view satisfied the sinful hearts of men. Their teaching were widely accepted among the rabbis at the time. But then you had the school of Shammai. The school of Shammai taught that one can only divorce in the case of adultery. So you have those two things running in the minds of people. Do I divorce my wife because she can't cook, or do I divorce my husband or my wife because of adultery? So Jesus, though he knew these views, friends, when he says it was also said, he's not actually referring to what these people were teaching. He's referring to what Moses had written before time. Moses had written in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 to 4, about issuing of a divorce certificate. Let us all turn there and read and see what Moses said. You will quickly realize there that there was actually something to do with issuing of a divorce certificate. The word of God reads as follows. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it on her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it on her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then the former husband who sent her away initially may not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. Why? For that is an abomination before the Lord, And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving to you for an inheritance. As you read those words from Moses, it sounds as though it is right and correct to issue a divorce certificate if you find something that will be indecent with the woman. That's what it looks like. But if you turn to Matthew chapter number 19, and I would like us to turn there and hear what Jesus says in response to a question posed by the Pharisees on the very same issue, on the very same verse. What is Jesus saying about this? Matthew chapter number 19, and I will read from verse 7 to verse 9. There is Jesus having a dialogue with the Pharisees, people who knew the law, people who held on to what was written by Moses. And they have heard and they have learned that Moses did say you can issue a certificate of divorce. And here is Jesus speaking to them. The Bible begins by saying, they said to him, who's that? The Pharisees. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? Listen to the answer of Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen very carefully. He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wife because of the hardness of heart. Moses allowed you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. The first thing I want you to notice from what Jesus is saying is that Moses did not command for a divorce certificate. Remember, the question says, why did then Moses command? But when Jesus answered, he says Moses allowed. So Moses did not command. It is not a commandment that came from God that Moses wrote, but Moses out of his own permitted people to issue a certificate of divorce because, that is the second thing, of the hardness of heart. So it was because of sin that this thing began to happen. Moses did not command. So if it was not because of sin, it will have not been commanded. Because of sin, men seek shortcuts and temporal happiness. Because of sin, you people, that is what Jesus said, you forced Moses to come to this decision. Just like it is today in the church, friends. Like it is today around us. There are so many people trying to force the church to allow, carelessly allow, if I may put it that way, issuing of certificate for divorce, or carelessly allowing divorce in the church, trying to press the church to the corner, just as what the people did. They pressed Moses to the corner, but it was not a commandment. Moses only permitted it. So there we realize that only Jesus, he says, whosoever, I say, I want you to see this verse that says, I say. In other words, only Jesus set the standard and the parameters, and only Jesus sets the rules of how things should be. I say, that's what he says. Forget what was said. This is what I say. He is the most authoritative figure of interpreting the scriptures. Jesus is the one who holds the authority to interpret the scripture the correct way. So he condemns divorce. He's not like the Pharisees who says, issue a divorce certificate, then it is fine. And I will tell you why the issuing of a divorce certificate is actually not fine. So he condemns this thing. He's unlike them. He's unlike the pastors of these days, those I quoted last week, who goes around and sleep with everyone, then wants to claim that they are men of God. He's unlike the false prophets of today, who will actually allow people to divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry when that is not even biblical. So Jesus says, I set the standard. This is what you need to know. A divorce certificate. I want you to hear. That's why I'm repeating myself, because I will change things around later on. A divorce certificate means nothing before the eyes of the Lord. What you have been practicing
is sin before God. What we have been taught is wrong. That was the saying. In other words, why so? Because there is no paper in the world that can separate what God has joined together. No paper can do that. In the same way, no paper in the world can join what God did not intend to join. Your paper does not join, your paper does not separate what God has put on as one. So friends, getting out of a marriage as a Christian is not a walk in a park. It is not like what people are saying out there. It is not a walk in a park. You cannot just spin a coin when it's heads or it's tails, then you decide to divorce. You don't choose like that. It doesn't work in that way. We see that the clear teaching from Scripture is that a divorce certificate means nothing. And that is where then, friends, there is a clash of authority between the law of the country and the law of God. That is where there is this conflict of interest between what man says and what God says. This is whereby the law of the country stands head to head with the law of God. But those who are called by God, those who bear His name, those who are born of God, those who are indwelt by the power of Spirit, those who confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will hear what God says and live with what God says. They will learn from God because they are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They will realize that although in this world a signing of contract matters, in this world, it matters when you sign a contract, whether it's a house contract, whether it's a car contract, whether it is that divorce, that marriage contract. It matters in this world, but before the eyes of God, a signing of contract does not actually mean much unless it is joined by God, which is why a taking out of the ring in the hand means nothing unless it is authorized by God. And we shall see that later on. Actually, I know of a woman, a very close friend. She went to her house when she was angry with the husband, because the husband is now a Christian. So she was very angry. She goes to the house, she tore her marriage certificate into pieces and cut it, threw it away, and then she walked out. What is in her mind is that since she has done that, the marriage is over. Friends, marriage is not over because you just tore a certificate. No, it is not. At the same time, just to get married by signing something does not mean actually you are married. You have people in this world who come from other countries. I'm not saying all the time it is obstacle. People from other countries, they come here, they steal your ID and get married to you without you knowing. Does that mean you are married? No, but there is a paper that says you are married. So a paper does not determine the authenticity, the genuineness of a marriage. It does not authorize it. It does not say it is like that. And at the same time, no paper brings to an end marriage. No paper brings to an end. That is what Jesus is saying here. So he says, don't fool yourself. Look at what God says. And he's going to explain what does God says. That is the first point I wanted to say. But the question is then, why will God or why will Jesus say this is not allowed? Secondly, I want us to see that Jesus reaffirms the initial status for marriage. Marriage has a status. There is a high honor according to God when it comes to the issue of marriage. And I want us to listen, friends. I know it is hard, but please listen. It's very important. So marriage has a status, and Jesus wants to affirm the status of marriage. In verse 32, you look at your Bible, it says, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whosoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So Jesus says, I say, these are the ways that I want you to see. I say, in contrary to what you have learned, in contrary to what you have heard, marriage, according to Jesus, marriage according to God should not be broken. Marriage has to be pure. Marriage has to be active so that there is no sexual immorality. Everything in marriage must be done in the fear of the Lord. Because once, friends, the fear of God departs from marriage, marriage is vulnerable to be a broken marriage. It is vulnerable to be dissolved. Because God did not, that's what we hear here, God did not intend that marriage be broken, but he intended that that marriage be a symbol of unity and love between two strangers brought together by a supreme being, bringing these two people together to be one, to love one another, to care for one another. He intended that to be. That's why the Bible says God hates divorce. You can write that verse down. Malachi 2, verse 16. It says, "For I hate divorce, says God, the Lord of Israel." So Jesus says here, you are issuing divorce certificate right now, but it was not so from the beginning. Marriage is a holy matrimony. Marriage is instituted, organized, and ordained by God. He ordained this, organized this for a lifelong relationship between a man and a woman. I'm going to repeat. Between a man and a woman. It has to be a picture of the unity and love between God and his people. That is what marriage is for. As we look at married people, we see a picture of people coming from two different spheres of life, coming together to love one another. People who were, if I may put this, strangers. Just like us, we were strangers before God, enemies of God. But as we come together with him, as he saves us and brings us to his kingdom, we become this unity, we become one. So, that is why those who are married, they need to care for one another. Those who are married, they need to respect one another. The husband needs to live with the wife with an understanding that she also is a child of God, with an understanding that the woman is a fellow heir in the kingdom of God. He must live with her with honor, honoring the woman. Listen to Malachi 2, verse 16. It says, God made the two one. No one can come in and divide the two. God made the two one. God initiated marriage, and he alone has the right to dissolve marriage when he wants to, especially in time of death. That is why when you get married, we say, till death do us apart. So according to Jesus, marriage is not just a contract on an agreement that you enter into, and when you feel like going out, when you have second thoughts, you can just jump out as though we are jumping out of a bus or something. He says, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Friends, I hope you see there a picture of salvation. I hope you see the picture of salvation, a picture of our union with Christ, that God brings us to his kingdom. And once we come to his kingdom, there is no walking away. Praise to be him, because we always want to walk away, but he protects us. As the husband protects this marriage, that it may not be broken. So God keeps us to himself. Every time we fall to sin, God reminds us of his word, that we may see his word and repent from our sin. He is the one who makes this marriage work. That is why it is upon the husband to make the marriage work, and the woman as well. So we see a picture of salvation here. Once you are in Christ, there is no walking away. That is the picture we see here. Marriage serves to teach us exactly that. That is why there is no paper in the world that can be used as a doorway to immorality. No way. Before God, marriage is unbreakable. It is an unbreakable commitment. That is why when we are faithful in your marriage, we are faithful to your wife, but also we are faithful to God. So it is with your unfaithfulness. If you are not faithful in your marriage, we are not only unfaithful to your wife or your spouse, we are also unfaithful to God. So Jesus says marriage gives the world a picture of Christ and his church. Christ and his church, they are in an eternal covenant. Is that not good news? That if you are saved today,
You are in an eternal covenant with God, regardless what will happen in this life, regardless of the highs and lows, the portals and the high hills of this life. You are in an eternal covenant with God, and you shall not be lost. The Bible says, if you are saved, you will not be lost. Is that not good news, my friends? So, Jesus says, marriage does not only last as long as everything goes your way. There are people who think as long as things goes my way, marriage lasts. No, he says, no, it doesn't last as long as things goes your way. Read again, verse number 32. There you see that if you divorce except on the ground of sexual immorality, you make the woman commit adultery. So, and whosoever marries the very same woman commit adultery. Now you have two adulterers, adulterer and adulteress. So let me say it again. Now we have an adulterer and an adulteress. We have the woman divorced because you divorced the woman unlawfully. Then we have a man marrying this woman committing adultery with her. So we've got two people sinning because of one person who sinned. Now it makes three people sinners. So if the husband will divorce his wife unlawfully, he pushes her to commit adultery. If she gets married to someone else because of that unlawful divorce, the man is more responsible before God. That doesn't mean the woman is not. But you who caused the divorce, you are more responsible before God. Woe unto you who brought this iniquity in the home. Woe unto you who brought this infidelity in the marriage. Woe unto you who thought it was right to divide and separate and destroy what God has brought together in his own power. So, if a man marries a divorced woman, a woman who's divorced unlawfully, that man commits adultery, and that marriage is not marriage before God. You are not married. So, the new husband is not married. Why? Because he's joined to what is already joined to someone else. So, regardless of what the paperwork says, you are still married. Regardless of what the paperwork says, maybe the new paperwork says, we are now married to this woman. No, actually, we are still with another man's wife. If the divorce was unlawful. We'll see later what I mean by that. So now, as a person who marries a divorced woman unlawfully, you are an adulterer. The only thing that you need to do is to let this woman go back and reconcile with her husband. If she cannot be reconciled, then she must remain unmarried. That's what the word of God says. Because, friends, the institution of marriage has a high status. If you divorce your wife unbiblically, you need to know that before God you are married. And you cannot marry another woman, my friend. You cannot marry another woman. And if you do, you live, or you are living in sin. You are an adulterer. You need to run to the cross. You need to run to Jesus to seek for forgiveness. You need to repent from your sin and go back to your wife and be reconciled. That is why even when you leave the church, when you have confessed before that you are a Christian, and then you go back to the world, you are living in sin. You cannot call yourself a Christian in the world just because something happened in the church and now you deserted the church and you're living like the world. You need to be reconciled to the church. You need to be reconciled to God and come back and worship the Lord. It is painful to see some people, some of my friends as well, who just think because they didn't have things going their way in the church, now they can go back to the world and live like the world, eat in the garbage bin like pigs like the world. Then you will see on their status, God be praised. Something about God. But the last time he was or she was in church was 2006. You need to be reconciled. You need to come to the Lord. So a married person who has divorced unlawfully must be reconciled to the spouse or remain unmarried. Because the institution of marriage is of a high status, my friend. The institution of marriage sends a message to the world, a message to God, that God wants to see the families together. God wants to see people united and happy. That is what God wants to see. That's why no one should simply put away his wife or her husband. Those who are married need to stay married. And also, they need to always bring their marriage before the presence of God. There's so much evil and temptation in this world. Those who are married need to bow before God. They need to pray for their marriage. They need to make sure that everything is well. The Bible says, make sure that you do not open the door to the devil. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He speaks to the married people. He says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourself to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do not deprive each other. The married people must not deprive each other. If I can link that, if you allow me to link that to the picture of the church, you cannot deprive yourself of God. You cannot absent yourself from prayer. You cannot absent yourself from studying the word of God, from listening to the word of God, from coming to worship. That cannot work. So we see here that although marriage is not built on basis of a personal or a close relation, intimacy relationship, if I may put it that way, it is not built on that, but that makes the bonds of marriage strong, whether we like it or not. That's why the Bible says, do not deprive one another. We see here that, friends, love should be unconditional. Is that not how the love of God is? Love should be unconditional. People should love one another. People should come together in marriage because they will love one another. Not because of riches, not because they are joined together by a certificate, not because they are joined together by a ring on the finger. They must love one another. They must be united by love. They must love one another in good times and in bad times. That's what this is about. So we need to avoid divorce, my friend. How to avoid divorce? Verse 27 to 30 give us a little bit of idea, of an idea. Flee from adultery. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from lust. Do not allow your heart to be the devil's playground, a devil's playing field for lust to grow in your heart. You need to cling to the old rugged cross. You need to cling to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You need to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he himself is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit in everything to the husband. Men, listen. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. He bled for her. He was crucified for her. He died for her. He purchased her out of the garbage of sin, polished her, loved her, made her clean, making his church pure as it is today. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. But deadly, we have seen now that a divorce certificate means nothing. I would like us to follow carefully. And we have seen that marriage is of high status. No one should dissolve it. But what I want you to see now, I want us to consider carefully, to consider something which I call it biblical exceptions for divorce. So we're looking at a careful consideration for a biblical exception for divorce. In other words, I'm saying it is fine to divorce. You see, now I'm changing my tune now. I said before, you cannot issue a divorce certificate. I'm saying now, it's actually sometimes fine to divorce. That's why you need to be careful to listen to what I'm saying. So there's biblical exception for divorce. Because not everyone who is divorced is actually wrong. And not everyone who fears to divorce is actually right. Verse 32 again. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whosoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. For you to see these exceptions that I want to talk to you about, I want to tell you a story, a small story.
the person in the story is a very, very close relative of mine. But I want you to see in this story exceptions for divorce. Not because we promote divorce, but because we preach the word of God. I want you to see here in this story. I know of a man who left his wife with 4 children. The youngest one was 10 years of age at the time. This man left the wife without anything that the wife had done, and he was joined in, and he went to live with a girlfriend, and he ended up marrying the girlfriend. And they, even now, after 20 something years, they still live together with the girlfriend. The man left the wife, and the wife at the time, and even now, the wife is still jobless. The man left the woman jobless with 4 children to raise. The woman struggled day and night, falling on her face, asking for God to help, raising, struggling to raise these children, 4 daughters. And now that the daughters are grown up, the man has come back to the home and says he demands the lobola that was paid to these ladies. Can you imagine? He was gone for 20 years. He doesn't know how these people were raised up. Now, I am the man, I am the father, I want the lobola paid to them. That's not the point. That's the issue for another day. But I want you to see 2 things here. First, this husband left the wife for another woman. That's number one. He is an adulterer. He is a sexual immoral person. And Jesus says here, on basis of sexual immorality, there should be a divorce. That's the first exception that I want you to see. The husband left for another woman, making the husband an adulterer. Secondly, the husband left the woman with no source of income and 4 children. There you see 2 exceptions. Left because of adultery, deserted the wife. We shall look at that one afterwards. But the first one we see is here on our text. In our text, Jesus says, we see this one exception, this one permission, if you will. He says, you may divorce on the ground of sexual immorality, only on the ground of adultery and any kind of sexual immoral sin you can divorce. Here we learn, friends, that divorce is not always sinful. But I want you to remember, I want you to see here that though divorce is not sinful in this regard, there is no way that divorce is not linked to some kind of unfaithfulness. There's always sin behind a divorce, even though the person who may divorce may not be in sin. So here we see that someone else commits sexual immorality, giving a key to the other person to divorce. So on the ground of adultery, you may divorce. Jesus says sexual sin breaks the bonds of a marriage covenant. But I want you to notice, listen very careful. He does not say divorce is commanded on basis of sexual immorality. It's not a command. He says it is permitted. So what does that mean? We are not commanded to divorce because your husband or your wife committed an adultery. Let me put it that way. We are not commanded. In other words, you and your husband, you and your wife can still work things around if both wants to. But there are risks. Remember, of diseases and everything, there are risks that you must be willing to take. But this is not a command that because now there is sexual immorality, I've been waiting, now I'm going to divorce. No, it's not a command. That one we must be clear about. So you may divorce in the case of sexual immorality, but there again you see the horrible sinfulness of adultery, the floodgate of sin coming to destroy what God has put together, what God has joined. Adultery leading to more frustration in the home. That is why the person who has caused this divorce should be shameful. Even though shame does not come as a remorse sometimes. Shame does not pay for sins. But the person who caused divorce should be shameful. In that case, the person who caused the divorce needs Jesus. You need Jesus. And once you have come to Jesus, you need to show great remorse of your sin. You need to work hard and go seek for forgiveness. Seek for reconciliation with your partner. That doesn't mean you must be reconciled. You can be forgiven, but not reconciled. Doesn't mean you deserve a right to be reconciled. It's a choice that a person can make, whether you can be reconciled or not. So, sexual immorality leads, open the floodgate to divorce, unfortunately. Secondly, the second exception is desertion, like I mentioned. If you are deserted by an unbelieving spouse, like in the story that I gave to you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. So if an unbeliever leaves you, I'll explain what I mean by that, you can't divorce. It says in verse 13, if any woman has an husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce. If the husband wants to live with you, you should not divorce. That's verse 13. Verse 15, chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such case, the brother or the sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. What you see here is that Paul says, if the unbelieving part wants the marriage to continue, the marriage must continue. Why? Verse 14. Because the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of the husband. What I see there, this to mean, is that the believing spouse become a symbol of light and righteousness in the home. Because of the believing spouse, perhaps God could grant the gift of repentance to the unbelieving spouse. Did you get that one? If the husband, that is an unbeliever, wants you to leave, it's fine, you can leave. But if the husband wants to stay with you, you must stay. But I must bring this to you. What we see here, it is the unbeliever who separates. The Bible says that the unbeliever separates. It is the unbeliever who should take the initiative and take the step of deserting you. The Bible doesn't teach that the Christian should leave the marriage because the spouse is an unbeliever. But if the unbeliever decides to leave, that is a different case. So you will stay in your marriage, you will stay in that covenant until the unbeliever decides to say otherwise, because you become the light. So I said there are two exceptions. Sexual immorality, if you are deserted by an unbelieving spouse. But, friends, we must not close the door to reconciliation. We must not close the door for the forgiveness of sin, for forgiving, to forgive one another. That doesn't mean now you must not forgive. But two exceptions that a divorce can be granted. Sexual immorality, if you are deserted by an unbelieving spouse. Now you're asking a question. But what about abuse? There's so many things that... What about abuse? Listen very careful, friends. In the context of verse 28 and 29, in Matthew chapter number 5, you realize that it says... Let me read for you. Just want to bring this to context, then I will explain. Verse 28 and 29. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in her heart. There is a very important verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that the whole body be thrown into hell. You can continue to read. What I gather there is not a permission to divorce. But what you see there is telling you that sometimes we will have to go through a painful experience before the problem is solved. Remember last week I told you, you have to go through a painful experience to cut off sin in your life. That is a symbol of a hand being cut off and an eye being gouged. So we will have to go through sometimes a painful experience to solve the matter. If the matter is not resolved, you will rather, my advice now, you will rather separate, not divorce, separate while the two of you go through a process of reconciliation, counseling, and so on. But what I'm trying to say to you, I'm not saying it is right for people to remain in a marriage where there's abuse. I'm trying to reinstate, to tell you over and over again, there are two exceptions for divorce: sexual immorality, desertion by an unbelieving spouse. So if you cannot be, if the issue cannot be resolved, if the issue cannot be resolved, you need to remain unmarried until death do you apart. That's how it is, friends. I'm talking now where, in terms of this abuse, not sexual immorality and desertion. Sexual immorality and desertion, you can make a choice there. You can remain or you can leave. You can divorce or continue to fix the marriage. And I want to tell you, God is able to fix broken marriages. God is able to deal with hearts that are sinful and unite people like He never united people before. So I want to say to you, do not rush into divorce. Give God that chance, that opportunity to unite you. Give God opportunity to grant and shower you with mercy and favor. Pray. But if it's not tolerable, you can't divorce. You may divorce. Let me put it that way. It's not a command. It is only permitted. The remaining question then is, under those two grounds, sexual immorality and desertion, should the innocent part go on and remarry or not? Friends, I'm going to quickly say, the Bible says, in the case of sexual immorality and desertion, the innocent part, the innocent spouse, can and should, if you want to, act as though the other part does not even exist anymore and get married again. You can act as though the other part does not even exist and get married again. So the Bible does actually give a way and say you can get married again. But remarriage, friends, like I say, I need to explain this again. Remarriage is only permitted after a permissible divorce. A permissible divorce is that one that I've spoken about under these two exceptions. That is a permitted divorce. So you can remarry under those circumstances. So those who are divorced outside these two exceptions, they need to repent. You need to find a way to reconcile with your spouse or remain unmarried. Very important. So we see here the love of Christ. We see the love of Christ in this picture, that Jesus Himself does not want you to be joined to someone else when you are joined to Him. He doesn't want you to love someone else when you love Him. He doesn't want you to care for someone else in that way of caring when you are with Him. You cannot give your heart to a stranger when you are with Jesus Christ. It is the same thing that we see here. So I'm going to close, friends, by just reminding you, a divorce certificate does not dissolve a marriage covenant, because marriage is God's design. It is a God's design for men and for a woman to live together in unity, to live in harmony, so that they may display the love of God to one another, so that they may teach coming generation the importance of a covenant. What we do teaches something to our children. But because of sexual immorality, because of desertion from an unbelieving spouse, the door gets open to a lawful divorce. But again, it is not commanded. It is only permitted. In other words, you don't have to do it. But if you do, you have not sinned. You can remarry. Let me give a message to those who are not married. The unmarried. Unmarried? Listen now. Here's a message for you. You need to be careful. Don't just marry people. Be careful not to marry a divorced person without finding out the reasons. There are only two exceptions: sexual immorality, desertion. But I would advise you, don't even come close to a divorced person, regardless of what the matter is. Not because the Lord says so, because there's a lot of stress that will come afterward. Not because there's no stress when you get married, but it's just my advice. Right? So, men, don't divorce your wife unlawfully. It leads to sin, the sin of adultery. The sin of adultery is piled on top of the sin of divorce itself. But I want us all to remember that divorce is not an unpardonable sin. God is merciful. God is able to bring you and reconcile you to your spouse. You will be forgiven if you come to Jesus and bring everything unto Him. It is important to forgive the person who hurt you, because people hurt. Forgive a person who hurt you. Why? Because you don't want to continue on a relationship with God with an angry heart. We spoke about an angry heart 2 weeks back, a heart full of murder. You don't want to continue with that. Rather forgive and move on. So as you think about marriage, think of the Son of God. The Son of God who came down from heaven. The Son of God who walked these dusty streets of this world to seek a bride for Himself. Even today, He's still seeking a bride for Himself. He's able to put that ring on your finger and make you His own, that no one can steal you from Him. He's able to make you His own, that He one day may take you to be where He is. Think of Jesus Christ, who seeks those who are lost, that you also may seek Him while He may be found. Think of Him, and He's here this morning. He's here this morning that we may find Him. He's among us that we may cling unto Him, and He will never let us go. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray.